all of us. Did I miss somebody? All right. Thank you all for sharing. Not sure what I'll do yet for sure. But first of all, I think let's stand together and we'll just pray. Father, we thank you for the things that you have taught us, the things that you spoke to us about in our lives through those meetings, Lord. And thank you for Brother John, Brother Henry, and their labors, Lord. Their labors to bring us the Word of God in truth. And let's thank you, Lord, that you've blessed us in such a rich way. Lord, this morning we pray that you would just keep ministering to our hearts, touching us, instructing us in your ways, helping us to find our way in the challenges that we face day to day in this life. Lord, we pray that you would prepare us as individuals for eternity. Whatever that takes, Lord, in our lives, prepare us, that we might spend eternity with you. Lord, we just pray for your hand upon us. Help us in these things. Trust the further service to you. Give me direction, guidance. We trust everything to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So, I'm going to share part of what I have this morning. Probably not in entirety, but maybe probing your thoughts and your mind towards it. We sang a song here before I got up here. Be strong in the Lord and be of good courage. And that song is very close to some of the thoughts that I was thinking about and impressed with this week. I'm going to write the title up here. It's in the form of a question. How to be of good courage. How to be of good courage. And I have a few questions maybe for us to consider, first of all. And that is there anybody here that has faced discouragement? Okay. Maybe in this last week. Anybody here that's faced some discouragement this past week? Yeah? Has anybody had an extended period of time, weeks, months, maybe years, of discouragement? Had some of those too. Maybe for those who don't know what discouragement feels like, maybe that some of us who have faced discouragement, maybe we could share a few thoughts as to how that feels. To be discouraged. How does that feel in our lives? Any thoughts on that we could share for those who don't know what that is? Yes. Right here, Alfie. We'll get a mic to you.
Yeah. If you go into that, praise the Lord that I did find victory on that. That does hit. actually, I'll probably use the term, you kind of took a scab off of my heart again. I'm actually not quite sure how to describe it if somebody never faced discouragement. But yeah, through many of my years through the 30s, I'm talking about my age through the 30s, I have often thought of that. The discouraged times I went through them years, and I don't know that I ever really shared this across the mic or even in front of the congregation, that I was discouraged to the point that I saw my mind starting to fade out, where life was no use to be lived. And it was by the grace of God I started to realize that. And I couldn't even think straight. And it may have even affected my thinking of today even some. I wouldn't say it hasn't. But when I started really realizing that is where I need to do something about this, is our children had a little game that they could play. They could press buttons, and you had to keep up to this game. It was, I don't know, you don't see many of them around. We also had one that we called Simon Game, but this other, you know what I mean by that? But this other one that they had was had birdies on it, and you had to keep up to that. Oh, I forget how old it played, but I played that thing for hours and for, well, not whole days, but many days, for hours, to exercise my mind again, to get my mind started, to come back on track. So, yes, my mind really goes out to somebody if I hear that somebody talking about discouragement. It's a rough part of life. And praise the Lord that there is victory.
Hand it over to Eli. Had some thoughts on describing what discouragement feels like?
For some reason, my mind went to a crawl space. Some houses have crawl spaces, and I get into them once in a while. It's low ceiling, dampness, no windows, and spend a lot of time on your knees. Yeah, I don't know. It's just you're really glad when you get out of there. When the light finally shines through.
Good. And I think we'd all recognize different depths of discouragements that come our way. Some are deeper than others. Some are more despairing than others. My father once had a message on this subject of discouragement. I forget what it was, but it was the D's. He had a whole list of D's, the cousins that come along with discouragement, despair, despondency, and I don't know if I can name them all, but he had probably six or seven of them. And it was just thought-provoking. You know, how much of that comes with this whole package when we allow ourselves? Is that the right term to use? We allow ourselves to get discouraged? Because we do. And some of us have maybe lived for months in that framework of discouragement, sometimes up a little more than others. But when we live there in that framework of discouragement, there's actually sometimes, sad to say, but we actually feel a little comfortable there. We begin to make the crawl space home. We set up our bed in there, and we kind of just live there. And that's our security. But it's not a pleasant place to live. There's no open heaven there. I think we all recognize that the discouragement, it's a pretty nasty place to be. Not a good place to be. How do we be encouraged and be of good courage and strengthening our hearts? How do we get there? That was the question that was on my mind this week. How do you get to that place? I think one of the things we need to understand about discouragement is, how come do we get discouraged? How come do we get discouraged? I want to just read Joshua there, chapter 1, verse 6, the first part. God told Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. But then following it with this question then, but what if I'm not there? How do I get encouraged again? How do I crawl up out of that hole? Are there things we can do to come out of that? Are there things on our part we can do to crawl out of that hole? The first part here is talking about, why does discouragement come? And we could open it up here for thoughts about that, but how does discouragement come? And I pondered some of that. What brings it on? What are some of the things that happen that bring on discouragement? And maybe this is more just because that I've been there, because that I know what this feels like. And I think some of you will know as well, and you relate to these things. When our focus becomes the trial, we get discouraged. When we look at our circumstances, there's discouragement that wants to creep in. When our faith is weak, Satan sends this dart called discouragement. Our eyes begin to focus inward. All my needs that I have tends to lend itself to discouragement. When I'm unthankful, can lead us into discouragement. When we pity ourselves, we have life so hard, so many hard things, and we begin to pity ourselves. We invite others to come. Hopefully they don't show up. But we invite others to join us in that pity party. And we face discouragements. Am I speaking our language? You understand these things? when we let our fears overtake our faith, lends itself to discouragement. Sometimes it's simple things like disappointments will lead us to discouragement. Maybe it's defeat. Maybe you had victory in your life, and yet you found yourself that you were defeated. It leads to discouragement. In Numbers 21, verse 4, and they journeyed from Mount Hor, the children of Israel, by the way of the Red Sea, to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Sometimes the way is hard, and we become discouraged. In fact, it's also used, this word discouraged, is not very often in the Bible, but a few times. And one of the times was when the spies came back in Deuteronomy chapter 1. The spies had returned and gave this report that they wouldn't be able to take the land of Canaan after all. Can you imagine how the hearts of the people sank after they had walked and walked and went through all the hardships they had come through? And then these men come back saying, it's not going to work. These guys are huge over there. There's no way we can take them. And it says that they were discouraged. They were discouraged. It's mentioned one time in Colossians chapter 3, verse 25 or 21 in the New Testament. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. A word for us, fathers. Did you ever notice how that after a victory, discouragement soon wants to set in? We have an example of that in the Old Testament with Elijah. Elijah, the great victory that was won there when he put this altar there and he was bringing the people to a decision. Who is God? Who is the Lord God? And the prophets of Baal were there trying to promote their thing. But it was right after that Elijah, he got so discouraged. He was running from Jezebel because she had put the word out that she's going to kill him. And he was running for his life, and he was found there by the brook there, and he just wanted to die. He just wanted to die. He was so discouraged. Why? God had just wonderfully used him. Discouraged. He felt that he was the only prophet left, and they were out to seek his life as well. Think about this. Did you ever wonder about the great men of faith in Hebrews 11? Did you ever wonder about them, whether or not they ever had times of discouragement? These great men of faith, like it was mentioned, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. Do you think Abel was ever discouraged? How about Abraham, man of faith, man of great faith? How about Sarah, his wife, who conceived, even though it was almost an impossibility as such, took a miracle of God. Isaac, Jacob, Joseph was mentioned this morning. Think he was ever discouraged? Great men of faith. Moses. I want to just touch a little bit on Paul's potential for discouragement. And we won't take the time to read all the accounts. I have a number of them here, but been reading through the book of Acts and Paul's journey of the Christian life, and Paul had a lot of situations there that if Paul would have given in to this thing of discouragement, it would have almost been worthy, could I say that, yeah, he should have been discouraged. He should have had these times as well. But we don't find him doing that. I'm just going to kind of glance through here, probably won't read it all, but in Acts 13, Paul and Barnabas had been sent out, and they were preaching the gospel, and souls were getting converted, and there was believers, and then it says in verse 45 that when the Jews saw the multitudes that had gathered to hear Paul and Barnabas, they were filled with envy and spoke against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. And at that point in time, I don't know how we would have responded. Maybe it would have fueled our fire. Maybe we would have just been more zealous and more earnest. It was that way for Paul and Barnabas. It says in the very next verse, says they waxed bolds. But they could have been discouraged. They could have been in despair. These people don't want to hear it. Let's move on. Let's go to a different place. But they took courage and they waxed bold. And later on here in this chapter, the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. Don't ever want to see you again here. Gone. No, be gone. So they moved on. They could have been discouraged, but this verse says, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. How amazing. Then, going on, there was a time when that persecution followed them. They went on over to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Laconia, and there they preached the gospel. And miracles happened there. In Lystra, an impotent man on his feet, he was crippled from his mother's womb. He had never walked, and he walked. He was healed. God was doing good things there. And Paul preached to them the good news of the gospel. They almost came out and worshiped Paul and Barnabas. They made efforts to do so, but Paul and Barnabas stopped them. And it wasn't long later you found them stoning Paul. They stoned him. And he could have been very discouraged. They left him there for dead. But he got up while the disciples were standing around about him. He rose up and he came into the city, and the next day he departed and went to another city. And he talks about them going on with confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Didn't discourage them. They went on to preach the gospel. Paul was found in a shipwreck. But before that, Paul and Barnabas both got thrown in jail, and their feet were fastened in the stocks after they had been severely beaten. They had all the potential there for discouragement, didn't they? To become discouraged. This isn't working out very well. Look where it's landed us. We're all banged up. And now our feet are fastened in the stocks. We're not going to get out of this. And they could have taken that route of discouragement. But what did they do instead? What did they do instead? They sang. Did they do anything else? They prayed and they sang. And what happened? All of a sudden, the doors flew open. There was a great earthquake. And ends up, the jailer gets converted. Amazing. Because they chose the path to courage. And then we have also some verses here in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 5 and 6. It says, "For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God, that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus." They were facing a lot of hardships. Troubled on every side. Within were fightings. Within were fears. Without were fightings. And then God comforted them through sending Titus to them. Paul also said these words, "We are troubled on every side, yet not in distress. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies." And then lastly, thinking about what are steps that we can take to be of good courage. I just want us to consider a few of those things here as we conclude here. But I think one of the things we should consider is we should evaluate, what is this discouragement about? What is this discouragement about? Sometimes we just have this feeling of discouragement, don't we? We wake up in the morning, for some reason we just feel discouraged this morning. You ever feel that way? Am I the only one? We feel that way sometimes. Sometimes it could be as simple as, well, we're just simply tired yet. It could be that. It could be physical things that we're faced with sometimes that brings that feeling of discouragement. And if we don't stop to consider why we're feeling down, sometimes we just bumble on in that feeling and we just allow it to be there. We just hope things will change. Steps to taking to being of good courage. I think it's another one. We feel ourselves going down in discouragement, it's good to ask ourselves, where's my focus? What am I focusing on? Does how I view this thing make a difference? When our focus is on something that's not going right, the day's not going as I planned, and we begin to have this sinking feeling of discouragement, we do well to ask ourselves, where's my focus? Two of the spies that came back, their focus was this: they're bread for us. Let's go fight. We'll easily be able to overtake them. God's with us. All the others had a different focus. Peter, when he was walking on the water, what happened with his focus? He started looking around, didn't he? Saw the big waves. And he did what? He began to sink. Where's our focus? Psalm 42, verse 5, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." Another thing we can do is ask ourselves, am I thankful? The Bible speaks about in everything, give thanks. Somehow when we look for the things to be thankful for, it helps our focus. You know, singing goes along with that, like Paul and Silas did there in the prison. Here's a quote that I found that was a blessing. It says, a proud man is seldom a grateful man, for he never thinks he gets as much as he deserves. It's quite the statement. Another question that's good for us to ask ourselves, is God with me? Did he say that he would be with me? Is that something that God has said? Jesus says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Fear not, for I am with thee. You know, if God goes with us, how will that affect this discouragement that I'm faced with? If God is with us. Another one is to apply the promises of God. Apply the promises of God. When you're feeling that discouraged feeling, apply the promises of God. Make them your own. We need to own them. We receive the promises when we believe that God is powerful enough and faithful enough to fulfill them in my life. What good are God's promises if they're not for me and for my situation? And lastly, prayer. We can bring all our cares and discouragements to God. In 1 Peter 5, verse 7, casting some of our cares on him because he cares for you. Oh, I read that wrong. Casting all your cares on him because he cares for you. You know, God's shoulders are much wider than ours. And we can cast all our cares on him. It's not a burden to him if we bring our cares. This morning, are you of good courage? Or what is affecting your courage? I thought about this little illustration. We have it in our vehicles. What does that look like? Yeah, gas gauge. In your vehicle, we have the empty side and we have the full side. Where are we at on this one? It's time to fuel up. What's our courage level look like? How was it this past week? You see, we need fill-ups every day, don't we? To stay on full. We need fill-ups every day. You know, some of us are more tended to let it go a little further. Mark, he likes to get this thing filled up, you know, when it's a quarter tank. And I'm more like, yeah, the light's not on yet, you know. And I know I have at least 20 miles after that light's on. You see? But how is our courage level? What are we facing that is sapping your courage? Do you think God can help you through this? So often we limit God by our unbelief. And in our heads, we know God can do it. But we are so weak in faith that we hardly stretch out our hand to His. We were talking about grace this morning and how we can get a hold of grace. And God's grace is there for us. And Jesus invites us in Matthew 11:28. We know this verse. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And then what? And I will give you rest. Isn't that right? Thank you all for sharing this morning. I appreciated that. I think that's good for us. I think the Word of God takes deeper root in our lives when we verbalize it. We share what God was doing in our hearts and is doing. God bless all of you.